Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
Well, it's Colorado Rockies for y'all. I mean, they just do not give up. John Gray, way to go. Way to go, John Gray. Proud of you, dude. I mean, rightfully so, you were getting criticized. You deserved it. I think he would even say that. But, oh, you guys step up. You make it easy. You make it fun. I mean, it was fun last night.
And this is live down towards shallow center. It'll drive in another run. Henry backed off at the last instant. Line drive center field. That'll drop. Here comes Chuck Nasty with run number one. Deep base hit center field. This ball is well hit to left field. Altair going back in. It is.
Is he gone? I thought that dude was dead, by the way.
When
he ran into the fence? Oh, my God. Anyways.
This ball's hit pretty well to right center field, and it is off the face of the wall. And hits in with a run scoring double. And you get a feel for just how strong he is. As he drives home, McMahon with the Rockies' 10th run.
6:40 tonight, Chad Bettis against Vince Velasquez. Chad Bettis with the start, huh? Okay.
Some oldies but goodies rolling. Okay, what is this? What is, we must have a relationship with this starting rotation like this is back in, should we say, May?
May? Well, anyways, I
way
was...
Way to go, John Gray, man. Way to go.
Yeah. I guess this, that was great.
I guess the mechanics and the videographer and... the B-roll and all that other stuff that he went through, D-Mac, really worked out because he had an outstanding night. Now, he did give up another home run.
Ah, big deal.
But outside of that, bro, I mean, the guy was nails, man. Way to go, John.
You want to give up solo shots when you're up by 8 or 9 or whatever it was at the time? Who cares? No big deal. He had a great day. Had a great day. His name is John Gray. We've won 4 in a row. How much will it take? How much will it take? You know, they're only one win away from the amount they had last year. One win. They had 87 wins last year. They got 86 right now. How many wins will it take?
I think it's going to take 5 more.
Oh, man. I don't know.
You're talking about to win the division or get in?
Oh, I don't care about winning the division. I just want to get
don't?
In. No,
okay.
I don't care about that.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe well, that all depends on St. Louis.
I mean, I'd love to win the division, but I'm not, you know, be great.
I mean, I think Dodgers, I think in their last, I think they're 10, I mean, 9-1 in their last 10. The Dodgers are on fire, man. So you got to give them, you know, big shout out to the Dodgers, man. Trying to.
I don't have to give a big shout out to them.
You got to, man. You know what? When the game's on the line, when the game is on the line.
Get the Dodgers.
Yeah. You know what? When we had our chance. When we had our chance, we went on the road and we just absolutely just, we got to change the bed sheets because we did not do what we were supposed to do.
Yeah, well, whatever. I'm not giving any props
but
to the Dodgers.
I will say.
Next time you're going to want me to wear like a Cubs hat.
Hey, listen, man. Listen, dude. Listen, it is what it is. Now, we all know what had to happen going out there to San Francisco and going out there to Los Angeles. Okay, we had to step it up against the two teams that we thought that we could get some success against, and it didn't happen. So now we come, you know, after going and having a great weekend against the Arizona Diamondbacks, this is great, man. We're on a 4-game winning streak, dude. Come on.
Oh, no, I'm pumped.
Yeah, but, I mean, you got to get other teams some props, too, because they did what they were supposed to do.
I don't have to give the Dodgers any props.
We saw them head-to-head.
I can be petty and jealous and whatever against the Dodgers.
I mean, if we had 7 guys that hit 20 home runs, you know,
well, if the
maybe we would be in first place.
If the Rockies had 22 Janos, they'd be all right.
Yeah, we'd be all right. We had 22 Janos.
Just had 22 Janos.
If we had 22 Janos, we would be all right.
We'd be all right. Everybody was going crazy on Sunday, sending me tweets about, did you see Geno in that block on the Emmanuel Sanders run? I'm like,
that's what fullbacks do. They finish it.
I'm like, that was incredible. He ran down the field and dove at a guy's legs. I mean, that
and
was
lane.
Amazing.
Emmanuel Sanders walked into the end zone because of, wasn't that Deshaun Hamilton down there blocking for him on that? Or was it Cortland Sutton?
I don't know. A lot of things went well on that play. Looked like the Broncos were going to roll. I watched a lot of Kansas City today.
Too early for that. We play that game Monday night.
Patrick Mahomes is the truth.
Is that what you're getting around to? Is that what? Wait. You wasted all these people's time saying that Patrick Mahomes is the truth.
Patrick Mahomes is the truth. He is the real deal.
Wasted all that time saying that. I'll tell you what. There was a great article that was written out there. I forget where it was, where I saw it. It may have been ESPN that's talking about what's happened with Andy Reid. And it all started with Michael Vick with the RPO. And it continued to get more frequency with Alex Smith. And now it's a full-on RPO system. I think it's two out of three plays. And it's a fascinating article because it shows you that, and this is what I had a good friend of mine who coaches in college football said to him. I have to go in the offseason to clinic coaches how to stop RPOs. I'm like, what? How does that make sense? These guys are in the pros. You're in college. He said, well, they don't know how to stop it. And all the things that happen in an RPO system with the movement. And, you know, I saw Sean McVay run a play last weekend off of jet sweep action. The quarterback was in shotgun. They faked the give. And then they also faked the give to Todd Gurley. Linebackers have to go somewhere. Now, you don't have to go left, but you're going to go right. You're not going to stand still. So if you got to go left, you're going to move left, or you're going to move right, you are not going to get depth. And what did they run? They ran a deep end behind them. And the only thing that all the run fakes were set up to do was get the attention of the linebackers. The systems work. So no matter what, and when we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, when we're talking about seeing the Rams in short order, those teams have different offensive philosophies. It's the same thing that we saw out of the Eagles last year when they had their run to the Super Bowl. I keep talking about RPO because it works, D-Mac. It works. And when you have a guy who has graduated from that system, played in that system throughout his college years, like Patrick Mahomes, this is just the same thing that he did in college. There's been no transition.
Sounds like a pretty smart organization to me.
There's been no transition from his Texas Tech days to his Kansas City Chiefs day because guess what? His Kansas City Chief coach was already running RPO stuff.
Sounds like a smart organization. It's impressive. And, you know, I didn't know really a lot about Mahomes. He just wasn't really big on my radar. And just did a lot of digging into him today. You know, he's been a big-time guy for a long time. He's been around big-time stuff since he was a little kid because his dad played in the majors for 11 years. So he's been around it. Came up in Texas, big-time high school football in Texas.
But played at Texas Tech, and those numbers, since Kingsbury himself was playing quarterback, have always been inflated. So you don't know what you're looking at.
Easily could have been a Major League Baseball player probably by this time had he decided to go in that direction.
That I can see.
Maybe good enough to be in the NBA from all accounts of how good he was at basketball. He was going to be drafted out of high school high, but he had made it clear that he was going to go to Texas Tech. So he was drafted in the 37th round, and he played for Tech. He was a relief pitcher for Tech in his first 2 years, and finally, as a junior, he just, you know, gave it up to focus on football.
Which I think that year, his junior year, he came out as a junior.
Right, yeah.
As his sophomore year.
Not as a redshirt, too, as a junior.
Yeah, his sophomore year, he threw for over, I was looking at his college numbers, threw for over 4,400 yards And then his senior campaign threw for over 5,000 yards.
The equivalent,
but Luke Falk, believe it or not, had more yards passing than this guy.
Okay.
Well, but Luke Falk is not. He's not that guy.
Okay. I don't know about Luke Falk because I was looking at Patrick Mahomes.
But I'm talking about from our college evaluation last year.
I started watching like tape today, and I'm watching some highlights. I'm like, oh, my God, this guy must have like played baseball. I didn't really know. I hadn't really dug into him. But I'm watching like three or four plays, so I stopped, hit up the Google machine, and I was like, oh, yeah, did he play baseball? You know,
don't most quarterbacks play baseball?
Yeah, but like he looked like he could play Major League Baseball. You know, like he, just the way he throws the ball, especially on the run, he looks like a Trevor Story, like a Major League shortstop. And he was more of an outfielder and a pitcher than an infielder, and the guy's size, I mean, he's 6'3", 225,
and he's yoked. You remember seeing him at the Super Bowl?
This guy's just
Patrick Mahomes at the Super Bowl, we were like, damn, look at that dude. He's a quarterback.
If you're going to build an NFL quarterback in this day and age, you'd build Patrick Mahomes. You'd build the confidence. You'd build the body. You'd build
the background.
Arm strength. His arm strength is absurd. He is so strong in terms of throwing the ball. It's ridiculous.
He's Steph Curry with it. He is Steph Curry with it.
So this dude is that's him. And then
you match him up with a great head coach. Reid.
Oh, well, I'm sure you have seen.
Oh, of course.
They're running all sorts of stuff. I mean, they're running all sorts of stuff. And you know what was really impressive? They're getting the ball to their best players in the backfield early and often. They're handing the ball to Tyreek Hill. They're getting the ball to Sammy Watkins. Never mind, you know, Kelsey, Kelsey right now is probably, he may even be better than Gronk right now.
No, he's not.
That's how good Kelsey is.
Watch yourself.
So you have
and
let's not avoid this. The offensive line is spectacular.
Well, they can be because everybody is scared to get out of their lanes because Patrick Mahomes is still a great athlete and can run with the football.
The funny part of it, they've got an incredible running back in Kareem Hunt. They're kind of barely using him at this point.
Yeah, they throw screens to him. Once again, they call it the touch pass. They call it the touch pass where Tyreek Hill comes and the quarterback barely touches the ball. If it's bobbled, it's a pass. They've thrown screens to tight ends. They've thrown screens to fullbacks. They've thrown screens to running backs. They've run option with Patrick Mahomes carrying the football.
I know.
Listen, for all those people to say, hey, it's the flavor of the month. Well, this flavor is like Rocky Road. It ain't going nowhere.
Okay. Yeah. You're going to have to. I think you have to score 34 points to beat him.
You're going to have to possess the football. You're going to have to keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. It's not just.
I don't know if that matters, though, Al, because they score quickly.
You know why?
They're not great in time of possession because they score so fast.
I know, but you know what happens in the NFL like it does in any level of football? Like we saw what happened with Tom Brady with the Detroit Lions. Hey, you keep that quarterback on the sideline. Don't give him a chance to get into a rhythm, and then you can have your way with the team.
I guess. They're going to get the ball 10 times no matter what, though. It's going to happen. They're going to have these. Their offense will have it at least 10 times.
They're going to score 70 on us?
No. No, because I think they're going to score 33 no matter what. So that's why I think the Broncos have to score 34. Now, here's the good news. The Kansas City defense is kind of a wreck. They can be good, and they definitely have good players, but they kind of can fall apart too. You know, in all the games they've had so far, they've had, you know, leads in every game, sometimes really big leads. And the Kansas City defense has done things and allowed the teams to sort of, you know, come back in all three games. But it's just that the offense put it out, you know, so far ahead that, you know, nobody could really catch up to them. But Pittsburgh came back on them. San Diego came back on them. The Niners came back on them. They all came back on them. So you can score against this Kansas City defense. And if you look at the numbers, too, and now three games into the season, Al, now we can really start looking at the numbers. And you can see the Kansas City defense. Well, they give up 474 yards per game. They're worst in the league.
But also, here's what you know about teams that score a lot. Most of the time when teams score a lot of points, what that does is forces other teams to go in the high scoring mode.
Yeah, there's some garbage numbers like that.
Yeah, right.
I understand that.
Yeah, garbage numbers is what the other offense end up getting because they, trying to get into the game.
I'm definitely not calling Kansas City's defense a garbage defense.
No.
I'm just saying you can do things against them. And you can really do things against them with your tight end, throwing to your running backs, or even fullbacks, by the way, out of the backfield. You can do things that are going to trip them up. They've got a good but not great pass rush. Good, though. Solid. I mean, if you hold on to it too long, they'll catch up to you. But they haven't created, like, any turnovers. They don't really have those guys over there on the Kansas City. The Broncos can beat the Chiefs. The Broncos can beat the Chiefs on Monday night. And it would not surprise me if it were to happen. It would be a signature win for Vance Joseph, and it would be a defining moment for this team. It can happen. But you have to understand something. The wise guys in Vegas have the Chiefs as a 5-point favorite on the road. I mean, how many games have the Broncos been the underdog at home? And the over-under on this game is like 56 points, which is the highest over-under of any game in the NFL this coming weekend. So everybody is expecting some sort of shootout in this particular game, Al. But the Broncos can win it. They have the weapons to be able to win it. They can
Don't
win the game.
Don't be afraid to step it up on this young quarterback and consistently put 5-man pressure in the game. That's what you have to do.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me with this? The Broncos are signing punter Colby Wadman to their practice squad? Is he a lefty? You got to do a little research because Colquitt's a lefty. So they may be just signing him to have a lefty kicker in camp during the week, by the way. You know what? I would say that's probably what this is. If he's a lefty...
And also to give a good look for next year.
Well, what they did last year... Wait a minute. Yeah, is he a righty or a lefty kicker? All right. If he's a lefty, I don't think this is a big deal to Marquette King. If he's a righty, this is sending a significant message. If he's... They brought in lefty punters off the street just...
Colby is a righty.
He's a righty.
He's a righty.
Marquette King has been put on notice.
Wow.
The guy that said that they don't, you know, that he didn't have a punter battle. But now, quietly, it's happening.
Look at that, huh?
And you know, I think he may just rub people the wrong way over in Dove Valley. Just thinking out loud here.
Okay. If you're wondering about Marquette King as a punter, he is below average in just about every punting statistic you can think of.
But he's great as a film director amongst NFL players.
As a film producer and music producer, Al, he is top of the charts.
I don't know about the music.
Oh, he's Marquette King. All players got to request songs to hear during warmups. For the last home game, Marquette King requested to have two songs played by Marquette King.
Huh?
So all the songs that play during warmups.
Yeah.
You think of all of them, right?
Where'd you get this info? Man, you're good. Go ahead.
It was out there. I forget where it came. Nikki put it out there. Nikki's good. Not me. I just read.
Nikki, you're great.
Nikki is great. And there's a list, like, you know, so-and-so Vaughn wanted this song, so-and-so wanted this song.
I mean, it's 3 hours before the game.
Marquette King requested two songs by Marquette King. Marquette King and... I mean, isn't that funny? It's so funny, you can't even believe it's true.
I mean, Marquette King goes and... I know the video was great, but I mean,
oh, yeah, he's
own
a,
songs.
Yeah.
Like, who, I mean,
now, not only is he making,
who would make their own song?
Well, a lot of guys make, I mean, you know, Capri Bibbs made his own songs.
Deion Sanders must be the money.
Yeah, but Capri Bibbs wasn't like forcing everybody to listen to Capri, you know, Shorty's
Capri
gotta
was
go.
Kind of flowing too, though. Capri
Shorty's gotta go.
I mean, Shorty's gotta go.
Capri just got signed to the Giants 53, by the way. I just saw that last
week. Way to go, Capri.
Is this, what's this?
Yeah. Let's get this Super Bowl running going.
Wait, what's this?
Oh, my
yes.
goodness, Big Sexy.
Wait.
So we back on the air. Time to get this party started right now. Right now.
We have our own musical
arms
right here.
Listen,
time
man.
To see Willis run down their throats. Down their throats. Put your hands
hey,
up.
That's it, Big Sexy.
Bronco fans, I said...
That's it. Thank you, buddy.
Marquette King is...
That was on a Super Bowl run.
Yeah, we did all sorts of things. Sing all sorts of songs during Super Bowl runs. Marquette King is 20th in the league in gross punting average, whereas Dustin Colquitt, who's punting for the Chiefs, is 5th. Net punting average, King is 15th in the league.
Average,
whereas Colquitt for the Chiefs is 1st.
What about that rookie from the Seattle Seahawks?
He's Dixon. He's unbelievable. He's like 3rd or 4th in almost top 5 in every single category you can think of. The guy's ridiculous. And the local kid, J.K. Scott.
Rawlings?
Oh. Scott? Yeah,
okay.
He went to, where did he go to school? Did he go to Regis or?
He went to one of the big schools.
Well, he went to Alabama, but he went to high school here.
I know, I'm trying to think. I think, I'm saying like one of the big schools like.
I thought he was Regis, somewhere
Cherry
like
Creek or Valor.
He's up.
Valor.
He's up in the top 10 as well.
Mullen. There you go.
He's in the top 10 as well. Marquette King got ripped by Vance Joseph in the press conference, and now today they're bringing in a punter on practice squad, a righty punter, even though Colquitt's a lefty. Okay. Hey, you do the job or you can't do the job, right? And if you can't do the job, we're going to move on, right?
Today is Showdown Tuesday. You know what happened on Showdown Tuesday? Huh?
No.
Showdown Tuesday, if you're not playing well, they bring in everybody at your position and try them out. And if you're at the facility, they don't care. You are working out on the main field so everybody can see. That's called the pressure cooker of the NFL. Hey, you had a bad game? Hey, let's get a receiver in here and see if we can get another big receiver in here to see if he can catch it.
Well, they bring guys in every week. It's just that they don't sign guys to the practice squad every week. Most guys
sometimes
come in.
Sometimes they go right to the active squad.
Most times they just go home with a souvenir.
Most of the time.
But for Colby Wadman, is that how you say his name? I never heard
Wadman
of him.
Wadman is that?
I wish it was Wadman. It would be a lot more fun to say. He was out of UC Davis. And who did they let go? They let go of defensive lineman Niall Scott from the practice squad, whoever that was. So there you go. There's a little twist. Thanks for the breaking news per Mike Kliss. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. So the Broncos looking to make some changes. Or at least, get people to perform better, right, Al? I mean, competition sometimes raises things up.
Did you see the game last night?
It was fun. Yeah, I did see. I had a blast. I was watching the Rockies and Monday Night Football at the same time. It was really, really fun.
I got to tell you something, man.
I loved it.
Watching Ryan Fitzmagic last night, having 3 interceptions in the first half, and then having the time of his life.
He's a baller, man. He didn't care.
I mean, he was having the time of his life.
The time of his life.
In the second half of that game.
I thought he was just going to, poop his pants after throwing that third interception.
You know what? And then after throwing that third touchdown?
Yeah.
I mean, the bug eye. It was on and popping. I was like, man, are you kidding me?
Would you have punted when they punted late?
No,
in the game?
I wouldn't have punted.
You'd have gone for it, right?
Because you know what?
Yeah.
If you just hold them to a field goal there, it's the same effect.
Right. Because there's only 2.5 minutes to go. I know you had your timeouts and everything.
But you're playing against Big Ben. Did you see Big Ben scramble out for his right?
That's good, man.
Flip the ball back to the left in the middle of the field. This dude is something else. He's a baller.
By the way, how about Connor for Le'Veon Bell? It's like, wow.
He looks solid.
Yeah, he does.
He's no Le'Veon Bell, but he's solid.
They're a franchise, though, in a little bit of distress, though.
Oh, no doubt. Trust me. That game could have easily been had last night by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All they needed was a first down.
Yeah.
a first down. And now,
how good is Mike Evans, by the way?
Oh, Mike Evans is off the chain. Did you see the punt return by my man,
DeSean Jackson? Yeah, got called back.
I thought about you when it got called back.
Alfred, I watch tons of NFL. I can't believe how many penalties occur during special teams. It's stunning. It is an epidemic. By the way, if we kick the ball at all, you know, under any circumstances to Tyreek Hill, we should have our heads examined. If we don't just kick every single ball out of bounds to Tyreek Hill.
You mean Marquette King?
Well, whoever's punting on Sunday.
Do you want to have a great average, or do you want to kick the ball to Marquette King? To Tyreek Hill.
You know, maybe we should investigate how Colby Wademan would kick the ball and see if he can figure out how to kick it further than 38 yards in the NFL. We just cannot kick the ball to Tyreek Hill at any moment. Do you understand? Like, that would be severely dumb.
Can't do it.
Tyreek Hill is a total freak, man. You know, everybody wants to get Tyreek Hill. Everybody thinks they can find a small guy. Like, McKenzie was going to be Tyreek Hill. There really is only one Tyreek Hill. Just because you're short and fast doesn't mean you're Tyreek Hill. You know what the difference is? He's a real receiver, Al. He's a real receiver. And
what do you call short? 5'10 is short?
For receivers, yeah.
The cheetah can go.
Oh, the dude is sick. And his hops, his elevation, this vertical, makes him the equivalent of a 6'2", 6'3 receiver. He just goes and gets it, man.
There's a reason, though, he wasn't a high draft pick.
I know. Do you want me to eat the sausage, or do you want me to know how the sausage is made, Al? What do you want?
I don't know. Sometimes I can't tell with you.
What do you want?
Sometimes I can't tell with you.
The Rockies win the Chiefs. It's a winnable game, but you can't play like you played last week. We'll dig into it, the big three next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Ted's Tuesday with Big Al and D-Mac, presented by Ted's Montana Grill. Coming up at 3:45, win dinner on us tonight with a $50 card to Ted's. It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
Okay, Alfred. Story number one. The one thing that I've noticed as I'm watching last night and this weekend and just going back through things, Al, there's just too many penalties being called. And I'm not sure, it's kind of like in, Amadeus, you know, there's too many notes. What notes would you like me to get rid of? I don't know what penalties I want you to get rid of, you know what I'm saying? But it's killing the game. And if you got to start with, falling on quarterbacks, maybe you should start there. But would you agree with me, whatever is going on with these NFL referees, and if you want to make the argument that the Pecco push and that whole thing was not part of the play, why are you calling a flag on it? You could win the argument with me on that. I mean, I'd feel you. But something has to change, though, right? Like, because right now, that's the rule, and we just have too many penalties that are slowing this game down.
The idea is to protect the players, and certainly you don't want people whacking your quarterback and taking, you know, old school shots on them, okay? But the way they've gone about it, D-Mac, I think is wrong, and it's slowed the game down, and it's caused a lot of people a lot of headaches and caused some game. I mean, the Green Bay Packers certainly were forced into a loss because of what looked like an old school tackle to me was called an unnecessary roughness in that that game where they got the tie against the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, I just don't get it.
Something's got to change.
I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to say not a malicious hit, but anytime a guy is sacking a quarterback head on, how do you get out the way? And you know that time period from when you make the hit to the time you go to the ground. What do? Hit him and then push him?
You know what I think? You should be able to review penalties. You should be able to review penalties because sometimes it's just like, you know, no, that really isn't a penalty. Like, if you could review penalties, perhaps you look at Petco's penalty, Al, and you're just like, no, let's pick up the flag on that. It doesn't warrant a penalty. It probably shouldn't have. Bongos.
Three.
Baker Mayfield.
Love
Sam
him.
Donald.
Love him.
Josh Allen.
Love him.
Josh Rosen.
My guys.
All starting, and Lamar Jackson has played in every game.
Mm-hmm.
This year as a rookie.
Yeah.
Is this the right thing to do?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And when Mayfield said, listen, the game is different. It's not as physical. Things are more open. What he was saying was right. And when you look at Patrick Mahomes, who's a really talented kid, but the rules have changed too. And like you pointed out, he's running more or less the same system with Kansas City as he ran at Tech. Of course you should be playing right now. And coaches should be keeping the same systems for these quarterbacks as they come up for the same amount of success. I mean, I have no doubts about it. Do you?
I have no doubts. I think it's long as you keep the same system, that's the key. You got to keep the same system. You got to be a different coach, and you have to give them different information. And guys like Sean McVay, guys like Andy Reid, I mean, those guys are innovators, and we're going to have to see both of those coaches in the next 2 of 3 weeks.
Bongos.
Three!
It came up a little short for Fitzmagic last night, but he hung in there, took it right down to the wire, and if they could have got the ball back, I guess, one more time, you never know, right? What do you do now if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Is it Fitzpatrick or is it Winston?
I think you go with the first quarter. You go with Fitzpatrick, because if he can go 3-1, then you stay with him. If he's 2-2, you go Jameis.
So he gets one more game, and then reevaluate.
I think that's the way you have to look at it, because Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, is he's given them a chance to win every game, and he has actually won 2 games. And all those high-profile receivers and tight ends, Cameron Braid, O.J. Howard as tight ends, and D-Jax and Mike Evans outside. I mean, he's making everybody look good.
Bongos.
Three.
Okay.
Oh, we got one more. Come on. Slip it in there. What do you got?
Last night during the game, you could hear a call that was made to Big Ben, and it was Gerald McCoy saying, sorry about that, Big Ben. But that didn't stop the referee from throwing the flag. I found the moment
there you go.
Gerald McCoy is, I mean, he's just such a great guy.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
I think you had a chance to meet him.
Yes.
Such a great guy, and you know that his intent would not to be to hurt a guy. When I saw it, I guess I felt good about it, because Gerald McCoy is that kind of guy, big, tough, physical guy, but a great teammate and a guy that I would love to see with the Denver Broncos.
Is that possible?
I don't think so, but I'm just saying, but he is just a great player, great heart. Everything about Gerald McCoy is first class, and every organization should have a Von Miller or a Gerald McCoy.
Bongos.
Three!
You know, I really did just read a rumor about Patrick Peterson. I brought it up to Adam Schefter. It picked his interest, and we got to talk about that at some point during the day. Like, can we get Patrick Peterson? I mean, they're going nowhere in Arizona, right? I mean, is there something to put together for him?
Mm.
And Correction Tuesday, Al, you going to make it all better? Are you going to make it all better, Big Guy?
I can give you some ideas.
All right, we'll get there next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Well, we want to thank Ted's Montana Grill.
Something happening.
I love that Ted's is here every Tuesday for us, and they're feeding the crew, and absolutely delicious. I let Big Sexy choose whatever. I just said Big Sexy takes pride that he used to work there and knows it pretty well. And
Ted's is awesome.
Right, you're hitting 1,000% so far.
Good.
I mean, I love it. And I got a little, what do I have here? It's
Well, you got the beef. Actually, I think you have the New York strip in there.
New York strip, yeah.
With some cauliflower. You got some green beans.
That's great. Sal, what are you munching on over there?
Delmonico.
Nice. We thank you.
And onion rings.
Ted Montana's Grill. Right on. Give it a shot. Give it a try. Enjoy Ted's. Okay, Al. Correction Tuesday.
Let me start my Correction Tuesday like this. The Correction Tuesday, to start off, this week is that the Broncos should leave to go to East Coast trips Friday and not Saturday. Because of the veracity of penalties that were involved in this last game, it just tells you that your team wasn't ready. That is such a difference maker in the game when you go out and you're comfortable. When I played for the 49ers, when we played teams on the East Coast, we would leave at 10 o'clock on Friday. So we would have almost, considering the game isn't played until 11 o'clock, you know, we would have all that time to just get adjusted to the city, get adjusted to playing. But it seems that football coaches, for some reason, are very protective of their team, and they don't like to get their team in situations where they could possibly be in more trouble than not. But you have to also remember that time change is real. That's the first thing about Correction Tuesday. What we also have to do on Correction
Tuesday. You realize, though, it didn't work last year.
I'm just telling you.
They were 0-4 going a day early last year.
It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you that in the first game that we had on the road, it was a sloppily played game, and it was the first game after the preseason. We didn't look sharp. So even though we were 0-4 last year, you have to consider who our quarterback was at that time, too. Okay.
Okay.
I want to say this. On a long return from the Ravens, Yadam, you know, with the returner in his face, jumps up and he gives him a light push. Now, once again, you know, did the push happen? Yes, it did happen. But to call that unnecessary roughness, that was just such a bad, bad call by the referees. But Yadam, you know, first of all, you know, don't be that guy. And that's going to be the theme of my Correction Tuesday. Don't be that guy. Because when you look at the Denver Broncos, there are a couple plays where you just looked at the team and said, you were the reason. Don't be that guy next time, Yadam. You're a good player that's getting better. All this talk about trading for different players is nonsensical when you consider who you will become here as a Denver Bronco. So don't do that. Our linebackers in general, in play action, when the tight end is in the formation, they're just terrible. Now, I don't know who's at fault on the reads or any play action that moves our linebackers, but tight ends running down the middle of the field, uncontested. Now, I get it, man. I get it that the action takes you to the run, and we are great at the run defense, okay? We're great at run defense. But my suggestions on Correction Tuesday is to take one more step backwards. One more step backwards to give yourself enough time to see everything, and it starts you off with better depth. Because you're so tight to the line of scrimmage, you cannot react and get back as quickly as possible on a good play fake. So give yourself a yard's depth and see how that feels this week in practice. So next time you see that type of work, we can get it done. Lamar Jackson caused a fit for us on simple motion to the backfield and a flare out to the left side, and our running lanes just totally lost its structure. We got to fix that. Any cross motion towards the goal line, no matter whether it's a quarterback or running back or a wide receiver that goes into the backfield, should not change your defense.
Now, Kansas City moves their guys all over the place.
Yeah, so that's
they give the ball to Sammy Watkins, to Tyreek Hill, to, I mean, whoever. They're moving all over the place. So how do you maintain, how do you keep track of that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter who the motion is. Once the guy goes back there, there are blitz rules. There are blitz rules. And when you get quarterbacks that go into the backfield, you have to treat him like a running back. And if you get a wide receiver that goes into the backfield, you have to treat him like a running back as well. So there are blitz rules, and you have to get yourself in position to make a play. I want to also say that for the first time out, noise is a problem for us on the road with our offensive line. Noise is a problem, in particular for Garrett Bowles. He didn't know the snap count on several different occasions, and noise seemed to be the culprit in us getting a lot of those penalties. Phillip Lindsay, keep your cool. Keep your cool. If you want to play in this league, there are going to be worse things that happen to you than trying to recover a football at the bottom of the pile. Even though you were going for the football, You got to keep your cool there and fight for it with your hands, and you cannot dive into the pile once the scrum has been established. You cannot do that. It should have been a penalty to start that playoff. And then, of course, the throwing of the punches, you know, showed that we were an undisciplined team. Keep you cool right there. Shane Ray, you get a sack. Great job, buddy. Great job. Shaq Barrett, foul on the ball. Just foul on it, buddy. Just foul on the ball right there. We get the ball at the 37-yard line. You don't have to scoop and score every time. Sometimes it's just better just to foul on it when you're not quite sure. And I know the ball took a bad bounce, but you got to just jump on that ball right there. That changes the entire situation. Cortland Sutton, you got to catch the football. Got to catch the football. At the end of a half, you cost us 3 points. Now, it ended up not really costing us at all, but the game would have been different if we could have just went for a field goal and a touchdown rather than having to score two touchdowns at the end of that game. What else do we have here? Oh, Case Keenum, you were perfect throwing jump balls or back shoulder fades to Demaryius Thomas and Cortland Sutton. Why are we only getting one or two of those a game? You know what? You have so much success with it. Throw four or five of those a game. I mean, those are considered deep shots to me because you're getting a win or you're getting a pass interference. Be more cognizant of who your players are. And we're going to have to get better as a defensive football team going forward because the game plan has been put out there. Joe Flacco is no different than Derek Carr when we played them. The ball's coming out of his hand in such a rapid pace. Teams are not letting Von Miller and this blitz package or anything else get to them. So get used to quick passes against the Denver Broncos. And those passes are skinny posts. They're quick crossing routes. They're dumps to the running backs. It's a sped up game, so you have to play a different brand of football. And if it was me as a defensive coordinator, I'd say, you know what? Yadam, Chris Harris Jr., Roby, you guys are in the mix. You're in the mix, period. We're bringing the heat the rest of the year. Bringing the heat the rest of the year, no matter who they are, what they do. We're bringing fire. Our best players on this team are on the edges. So to get them one-on-one, we have to bring pressure directly, double A-gap looks against the Kansas City Chiefs.
In terms of the Chiefs and the AFC West, we'll focus on that with Football at 4 next.